course at no cost to you. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will only pay for your textbooks. Your tuition is free. Do you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. It's my honor and privilege to be able to host the show today for Dr. Youngblood. Those of you who are frequent listeners to Dr. Youngblood's show recognize that I have been on before, both as a guest and also as a host. I hail from Pensacola, Florida, where I own a small business, a insurance and financial services agency. I also served in the Florida State House from 2013 to 2020, District 1 and District 2. I've been a small business owner for 36 years now. Before that, I was 10 years active duty in the Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. First half of the show, we had a great discussion with a guest speaker, Dr. Eric Wallace, talking about the apostasy of our church that we're going through right now. I want to talk on the second half of the show. We'll discuss the 5 truths of the Declaration of Independence, this being our semi-quincentennial celebration of the Declaration of Independence. We're going to talk a little bit about how to restore election integrity. A reporter asked Trump, is God on America's side or on Iran's side? And also Trump's statement that unless they open the Strait of Hormuz, that he's going to annihilate this civilization. We'll discuss all of that. Call in if you have a question or a comment, would like to join the show at 904-831-0917. And we do have a caller on the line, Marshall Wood. Woody, yes, what is your question or comment, please?
Well, good morning, Mike. God bless you for taking the call. Let me say this carefully. For me, this is a providential call. I was doing something else, and a very significant person called and said, hey, Mike Hill is hosting today. So I tuned in immediately. And I will tell you that I will be ordering Dr. Eric Wallace's book, The Heart of Apostasy, immediately after this program. Now, I want to do one thing, and because it would be self-serving, I'm not going to mention the name of the book or the author, but I would like to read maybe 2 or 3 sentences from Chapter 9 of a book, because Dr. Wallace and you, good sir, fulfill this statement. I believe it to the soles of my feet. I believe we're in a very significant time, the first half of my Air Force career, the first third of it, was spent flying in and out of Iran, frequently up to the point of the Shah's abdication. You and I have an Air Force background. And I believe that, as Dr. Youngblood does, who incidentally, his procedure went well this morning and he's got a good report in the hospital, Dr. Youngblood and I and others believe that we are in a very significant time. He is dispensational in his viewpoint. But there are certain people in this world that will be more significant than others, and that's what I want to say in this call. Now, I'm reading from the ninth chapter of an unmentioned book, but the title of the chapter is Black America, Willing Victim of the Witch. And in there are 7 points that are made about the time we live in, and I just want to read the few sentences of the first one and then see what Dr. Wallace thinks about it. Point one, spiritually sound, articulate black men will lead America to spiritual and political revival, or black opportunists, cultural elites, and militant feminists will lead us to hell literally under the banner of the Democrats. The door is wide open either way. And I want to emphasize, I believe to the soles of my feet, that articulate, sound, spiritually sound black men are the key to America getting out of the spiritual mess that we're in, if God permits it. I'm excited about Dr. Wallace's book. I'm going to get it immediately, and now I'm going to shut up and let you comment.
Well, Woody, thank you so much for calling in. Dr. Wallace is no longer on the show with us now, but believe you me, I will relay your comments to him.
Okay.
The book that you're referring to that you read, you're being gracious and humble and not mentioning that that's a book that you wrote.
Yes.
A very good book. What's the title of it? Refresh my memory, please.
Well, I want to make sure you understand. I don't necessarily desire that we do that. I didn't call in to mention the book. It was written in 2014, and events since that time have validated pretty much, in my view, what was written. If you wish, I will say the name of the book, but I don't need to.
Well, please do. Yes, I would like you to.
All right. It was written in 2014 after doing about 30 years of preparation for it, most of which I was in the Air Force and flying commercially. The title of the book is The Bigger Picture, with the subtitle being An Essay on the War Against the Fatherhood of God and the Culture of Christ. And it seems to be very similar to what Dr. Wallace has been was talking about. And I'm sorry that I missed that point, or I would have called in the first half of the program. But let me just repeat that articulate and spiritually sound black men are going to lead this country out of a mess if God will permit, or the Democrats, the cultural elite, and the traditional black culture is going to take us the rest of the way to hell.
Well, Woody, I want to say, well, thank you for mentioning your book so that our listeners can hear, and I would encourage them also to go out and purchase your book. It is a great book, very well written. It was based on a lot of experience and research that you have done. So I appreciate you mentioning that book, and also Dr. Eric Wallace's book, The Heart of Apostasy, also a very well-written book based on a lot of research that he did. I have read that book. Your statement in the book that to lead America will have to be done by articulate, faithful black men, I believe is a true statement, and I would like to add to that, also by articulate and faithful white men and people of all races. That is what's going to be required to lift America out of where we have been, started probably in the late 50s, took off in the 60s and 70s, where we went down a dark path, and we're beginning to pull ourselves out of that. We have to. We must. Your book demonstrates that. And what we have to do is get to a point where we preach the gospel. We get out the good news, that we do not back away from it, as Dr. Wallace describes in his book, The Heart of Apostasy, but instead we embrace it and herald it for this reason, that the United States can fulfill its destiny of preaching the gospel to a dry and thirsty land. That is why God has so blessed this nation, the most prosperous, the most militarily powerful, the most benevolent nation the world has ever seen. And it is for the purpose of doing God's will, of preaching the gospel, bringing many to salvation. Woody, thank you for your call so much. Mike, anything else you'd like to add before you go?
Are you still there? Mike, you're still there?
Yes, I'm here. Anything you would like to add before you go?
Yeah, bear with me for less than 60 seconds. I agree with you 100%, and as I've told you, you are an exceptional man, and I appreciate you more than you know, and now I know I appreciate Dr. Wallace. But the black man specifically is the tip of the spear in what happens, for a reason I will discuss openly shortly that I think is going to stun a lot of people. I believe it's true. But the tip of the spear, for reasons to be disclosed later, a black man is, articulate black man, will lead us out, or we're going the rest of the way to hell. And I can defend that biblically. But thank you for the time. I'm shutting up now. Get back to listening to the show.
Thank you, Woody. Thank you for calling. If anyone else would like to call into the show to express your opinion or to ask a question, make a comment, you can call in at 904-831-0917. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Here's an article from the Washington Stand. It was written just today. And the title of the article said, Trump Administration Observes Resurrection with Bold, Faith-Driven Messaging. It was written by Joshua Arnold, and it starts off by saying nearly a dozen federal departments posted messages on Easter Sunday explicitly acknowledging the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's amazing. You did not hear that during the Biden administration, and particularly not from a dozen federal departments who posted that Easter message. We did not hear it during the Obama administration at all. And here was the message that was posted. The tomb is empty. The promise is fulfilled. Through his sacrifice, we are redeemed. We stand firm in faith, courage, and truth. Happy Easter. That was tweeted out by Secretary of War Pete Hegseth. While positions of power are too often filled with ambitious men and women seeking to advance their own glory, it's refreshing to see so many influential leaders taking time to acknowledge the ultimate King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we see as stated in Revelation 19:16. Of course, the article continues on with saying, a chorus of He is Risen sounded forth on social media from the Departments of State, Health and Human Services, Education, Energy, Homeland Security, Veterans Affairs. These cabinet departments were not shy to quote scripture or to invoke the name of Jesus Christ. Veteran Affairs Secretary Doug Collins quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Department of Homeland Security cited Luke 24:6. He is not here. He has risen. The Education Department invoked the hope and renewal found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Justice Department, newly without a secretary, connected the holiday to their very mission. As millions of Christians gather in their churches across the nation to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, this Department of Justice is proud to protect and defend religious liberty. That is so important for our nation, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it is listed there in the First Amendment to our Constitution. Congress shall make no law abridging our religious freedom. It does not say that we are free from religion. No, it says that government will not form a state religion that we all must follow. And it is so beautiful to read and hear of how these departments from the Trump administration are proclaiming the authority and the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus. This cannot be done, is not being done in many countries. We hear in Africa, where the Muslims are in control, Nigeria, Somalia, Gad, and other nations, where they are killing Christians. They are killing those who profess their faith. In China, you can be jailed, you can be killed for professing your faith. In North Korea, they will publicly execute you for exercising your faith. And in many of the Muslim nations in the Middle East, we see the same thing. You will be killed for professing your faith. And there are still those who do profess their faith in spite of facing death. Now, back to the article. This comes from the Washington Stand, written by Joshua Arnold just yesterday. The fullest celebration of Christ's resurrection came from Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who posted a 2-minute video with a voiceover in which he declared, "We were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God who loved us and created us with the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men and he died like a man. But on the third day he rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so that they could see and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. Then he rose to heaven, but he promised he would return, and he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again. Amen." Such a full proclamation does Rubio credit. An official cannot slap together such a detailed statement on Christianity without a thorough working knowledge, even personal knowledge of its truths. Despite some theological asterisks, Rubio does not mention how sin entered the world, or how Christ's cross freed us from it, that is a decent statement, especially for a layman with no formal theological training. This federal recognition of Easter was more a sign of respect for the faith still practiced by a majority of Americans than a sign of Christian nationalism seeping through the executive branch. Recognitions of Easter Sunday, even issued from Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and the Labor Department, headed by Secretary Lori Chavez DeRenner, neither secretary could be mistaken for being part of the religious right. The White House itself issued a statement rejoicing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whose triumph over sin and victory over death secured the promise of redemption and the hope of eternal life for all who believe in him as Lord and Savior. The presidential message reflected on how the life of Jesus Christ and the truths of the gospel have inspired our way of life and our national identity for 250 years. From the Christian patriots who secured our liberty on a battlefield and every generation since, we love the love of Christ has unfailingly guided our nation through calm waters and dark storms. That came from the White House. That statement came from the president himself. It is so refreshing to have a president who will issue such a proclamation. President Trump even issued a short video address that quoted John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, for whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Trump concluded, "To be a great nation, you must have religion and you must have God." Amen. It is so refreshing to have someone in office, to have a president, and to have a cabinet that is not ashamed to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is leading this nation now. As the Bible says, when the righteous are empowered, the people rejoice. And that is something to rejoice about. But when the wicked are empowered, the people mourn. And we went through years of mourning when Joe Biden and the Democrats were in charge of this nation. They got there illegally. In my opinion, they stole the election, and he was installed. But nevertheless, they were there for 4 years, and it was a time of mourning. Now we have a time of rejoicing and celebration because we have a president, a cabinet, and an administration who does proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ. Now, enough of that post there, but I do want to talk about this a bit. A reporter asked Trump, if God is on America's side in Iran. Now, Trump expressed his belief that God was on America's side when asked about his comments in Truth Social Post during a Monday press conference. Now, here is Trump declaring that Iran's civilization is going to be annihilated. They're going to be wiped out unless they open the Strait of Hormuz. So I'm sure there are Democrats who are going to say, would a Christian say that? Yes. The answer is yes. And it is biblically sound. When God told the Israelites to go in and possess the land, he told them to completely annihilate those that were in the way. Men, women, children, even their animals, to get them out of the way. They had no place. That was ordained by God. Now, when Trump says, or when they ask, is God on America's side or on the side of Iran, Trump said, I believe he's on America's side. I would add to that, I believe God is on God's side. God is sovereign throughout this conflict. God is sovereign to every event that is going on around the world right now. Mankind is not sovereign. Man cannot say, this is what I want to do. Oh man, who art thou that you would try to raise your voice against God? God is sovereign. He is the one who is in control of everything that is going on. It is God's sovereignty that controls what is happening with our nation and with the world. And we must, as Christians, continue to pray for God's grace and mercy during this sovereignty that he is displaying to us and to the world, that we must worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is truth. There's no getting around it. And I say to the answer to this question, if God is on America's side or Iran's side, Trump said, I believe he's on our side. He's on America's side. And I add to that, I believe God is on God's side. God is the one orchestrating everything that is happening. And I am so thankful that we have a president and an administration who is not only taking on the terrorists, the barbarians that are in Iran, but anyone else who would stand against what needs to be done to make America great again, to make America in a position so that we can fulfill its destiny. The United States of America's destiny is to fulfill preaching the gospel to a lost and thirsty world. That is why we are here, and we must not forget that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. I pray that God's blessings rest on you today and on your families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
On May 3rd, believers will gather in Jacksonville for Revival 250,